It is vital to remember who we are before God, especially as we talk about how we can be better people, because Christ calls us to be better, not just be who we are, but to be better us. So, in regards to a pot stirrer, for the purposes of this sermon, pot stirrer, the word pot stirrer has different definitions, and it's kind of fun if you look on the internet. It's a lot of entertaining things. However, today, a pot stirrer is a person who feels it's necessary to try and create more drama in regards to a situation, argument, debate, in which they are an outside observer, usually by way of a comment or statement. Proverbs calls us to promote peace rather than drama. And Proverbs coincides wisdom with the promotion of peace. The reason why we had such a strange Bible reading there is because Proverbs, in the section that we are reading from, is a bunch of sayings. Two little couplets that are important together, but don't necessarily have to do with the next one. They're little phrases. And that's why it was broken up. But it is vital to understand that in Proverbs, there is a great importance placed on peace, on not causing strife, and a pretty deep connection between strife and those who look for strife and causing strife or drama and sin or transgression. But it should be noted that there is a fine line between a pot stirrer and a prophet. Both the stirrer and the prophet seek to agitate and raise the tension of a situation. However, the motives and the intended outcome are very much different between a prophet and a stirrer. In the case of the pot stirrer, their motives are generally selfish, and while in many cases claim that they want the best for everyone, their actions do not lead to trust or genuine and authentic relationships. This is because rarely are they willing to take responsibility for their actions, as they do much of their agitation through other people. Have you heard this? Oh, someone said this. This is working through proxies. In addition, the pot stirrer does not have a peaceful outcome in mind. Either this is not something they are capable of imagining, or their actions are focused on the removal of an individual or small group, therefore obviously decreasing the relational capacity. This is in contrast to a prophet who willingly takes responsibility for their agitation, seeks to include the group in discourse, and has a vision of a peaceful future for everyone rather than just themselves or a small group that they belong to. Pot stirrers can sometimes believe that they are serving a prophetic role. However, as Proverbs tells us again and again, wisdom always promotes holistic peace for everyone. This holistic peace is the biblical concept of shalom, and we've heard that before. This does not mean, and this is very important, this does not mean an artificial quiet of real issues and concerns, and silencing and stifling people that need to say something. No, that's not what shalom is. Shalom, real peace, is the condition of a person or group or church that is in a right relationship with God and each other in such a way that everyone can flourish within the blessing and will of God. This is the goal of the prophet. The pot stirrer has other things in mind. The rest of my sermon here is going to be borrowing heavily from an online article from parents.com entitled, "Parents of Middle School Girls, Beware of the Pot Stirrer." And that is kind of funny, but much of this behavior is very junior high. So you might not, I'd be happy to send you the link to this article, but it is fascinating to think, and especially once again, I joked a little bit last week, but fascinating to see how I've seen this and how I have contributed to behavior like this. This isn't just some sort of supervillain that does things like this. This is all of us that engage in this sort of behavior at some degree or another. Pot stirrers can find them. You can find them in various social circles from grade school on up to college and beyond. A pot stirrer, they are easily identified, although they establish themselves in a deceptively innocent way. Often, the instigator, pot stirrers can be found at the center of any drama. Friends who stand beside them are vulnerable to unsuspecting betrayal, as they could easily become the next target of their attacks. Does that sound like middle school girls? Yes, yes. Pot stirrers seem, boys as well, pot stirrers seem to always have something to complain about. They are in constant need of validation and attention. They will do just about anything to get either. But pot stirrers aren't always, and typically, very infrequently, are they malicious. But they can be manipulative and self-serving in how they engage with their friends. They often set little fires of he said, she said, and they fan them into flames and into a wildfire of conflict among their peers. They are skilled at weaving webs of connection that brilliantly display solidarity with the subconscious motive of leading the pack and staying in the spotlight. But of course, we read in Proverbs 17, the beginning of strife is like letting out water, so stop before the quarrel breaks out. Once we begin these behaviors, it can grow into something that is malicious and spurious. And one who justifies the wicked and one who condemns the righteous, they are both alike an abomination to the Lord. Wow! There is not a high level of approval here for those who might use the tools of a pot stirrer. Pot stirrers often have a loyal band of friends who will forever come to their rescue because no one likes to see their friend hurting. Pot stirrers are not always fully aware of their manipulative techniques, but possess an uncanny skill of raising a call to arms for any perceived bruising or wound inflicted upon their reputation and ultimately their psyche. Their stirring often leads to messy mayhem. In Proverbs 17:9, one who forgives an affront fosters friendship, but one who dwells on disputes will alienate a friend. Many times we find in an effort to cause drama, to build up drama, to build that excitement, a stirrer will pull out old wounds that have long since been dealt with and long since been over. But if we have nothing left to feed the fire, we'll recycle things. Keep it going, because the object is to increase the drama. And we increase the drama also by claiming ourselves as victims, as a pot stirrer. Oh me, oh my. And their friends, groups of people we have around us that we have created to protect ourselves, we embrace, we build on that tendency and that value of our society to embrace and backing up and standing up for the rights of others. We want to take necessary steps to help those in need. We want to take concerns and issues and treat them fairly. But herein lies the problem. All of us can get pulled into the muck of the stirred pot and often can't see the passive, self-serving motives of the stirrer. This can cause shifts of alignment among those involved and fracture friendships within the group. Whatever the issue may be, friends are forced to take sides and the truth gets buried in the rubble. I can't believe you said that. Don't you believe me? Don't you? There is huge alignment issues, huge things causing us versus me in a situation, a group of friends or a church where we shouldn't have that sort of language. If we are the family of God, all of us baptized, why would we create division like that? And so this is dangerous for families, for friend groups, and for churches. We find in Proverbs 17:19, one who loves transgression loves strife, and one who builds a high threshold invites broken bones. This proverb is highly poetic. But once again, we see the connection between the drama, the strife, and transgression or sin. And we see also building a high threshold invites broken bones. That can mean several different things, presumably in Hebrew. But the image, of course, is building something up, whether it is building ourselves with the threshold of our mouths, or whether it is building a wall in a city to go on the attack. Need to note that if you build a wall high enough, you might fall off it and end up with broken bones. There is danger here in this behavior. We need to become aware of our role in friendships like this and find ways to detach and honor our own self-preservation. Because of the it's me or them mentality, it is difficult to be the friend of a pot stirrer and to be friends with others, especially those who the stirrer thinks poorly of. And here is part of the division. I can't believe you're that person's friend. You can't be that person's friend and be mine. That's part of the result of this pot stirring behavior. We're all experiencing this type of friendship in one way or another. Pot stirrers are an inevitable part of all our lives, and it's up to us to be aware of this dysfunction. The author of this article that I'm quoting from vividly recalls being sucked into the pot with a friend who flew into her life and quickly started a storm of emotional drama within her group of friends. She adored her, the author adored her, and naturally believed her and wanted to help her resolve the conflicts with those she claimed had hurt her. And after months of trying to affirm her friend's ongoing complaints with the other friends in the group, the author slowly began to realize the divide that this girl had caused among them all. Other friends had identified this person's manipulative behavior long before the author did, because her friend had convinced the author that her friend was the victim. The author was finally able to recognize her friend's destructive behavior and the impact it was having on her own mental health, and decided she needed to end the friendship. It wasn't easy to do, but she knew being friends with the pot stirrer impeded her other friendships, and her needs were dominating the author's life, the pot stirrer's needs. This isn't to say that we must end all friendships with pot stirrers. It's most important, above all, to recognize the pot stirrers in our lives and remain vigilant in protecting our mental health and our other friendships. And it's also important to recognize that we might be pot stirrers ourselves. Sometimes we can become pot stirrers when we are honestly trying to address another person's problem. We listen to a complaint or a grief, and we desire to resolve the issue. We become advocates for someone else and rush to solutions without fully realizing the problem. Sometimes this is exactly what we should do. And other times we can step into grave error. If we tend to rush into solutions, we may misdiagnose the issue. One offhanded comment should not be the starting line gunshot that sends us into hyperdrive. Did you listen to the real concern that's being shared? Did you ask contextual questions? What are you assuming? Are you projecting anything upon this person? In what ways are you enabling this person to take responsibility for their issue? Or are you taking the sole responsibility for the issue for them? And finally, what ways can you be the lid and not the spoon? Don't stir things up. Rather, how can you put the lid on and contain the boil while we try to figure out how to turn the heat down? All of us, I want to be very clear here, all of us know what happens when you're making spaghetti and you leave the lid on. That usually means you get to clean the stove. That's not what I'm suggesting here. Rather than stirring up the pot, causing it to boil and causing all sorts of drama, we can be the lid on things until we can turn the heat down, finding the real issue and finding real solutions. That is the difference between a pot stirrer and a peacemaker. Loving difficult people, surprise, can be difficult. And pot stirrers need our love. But in loving difficult people, we must sometimes make difficult decisions for the sake of our well-being. Learning how to set and keep healthy boundaries is one of the greatest lessons we can learn as we mature in our faith and dive deeper into our relationship with Jesus and with others. We need to become aware of these traits in pot stirrers so we can develop a better understanding of the dynamics that play out in some of our friendships, as well as the pressures of social group thinking and even fellowship in our church. We also need to be aware of these traits so we might avoid them in our own behavior. But above all, we need to ask ourselves, how are we being peacemakers? Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. This is who we are, children of God. Therefore, in all things, we should be making peace. This is Jesus' call for our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit to be peacemakers rather than pot stirrers. And once again, to repeat, this is not the peace of silencing concerns and marginalizing people with issues. No. This is the peace that we have when we walk through with people, claiming them as children of God along with us, and working for right relationships with God and with all of us together, so that together we all might flourish. And so the promise of Christ is, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Amen.